Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. As we mentioned before, the notion of overlap between Chicago's and Milwaukee's economies has been talked about for years. Bill Testa has been touting the benefits of developing a cohesive regional economy, including both cities, for at least the last 5 years. Testa is senior economist, vice president, and director of regional programs at the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. He explained to WUWM's Marge Pitroff why the issue emerged on his radar screen.
Well, this was on my mind because there has been a lot of soul-searching review and discussion in Chicago about becoming a global city. And I think coming out of the decade of the 1990s, there was a realization that the scale of commerce and human interaction had really opened up in the world as a result of communications technology and trade liberalization and a host of other things, and that this opened up opportunities for some cities to then be able to carry out those business activities that globalization required. And there's a lot of thought and belief here in Chicago that we had, in fact, kind of positioned ourselves to be one of those successful cities and perhaps outgrown our Midwest role as a regional service provider. However, Chicago, to be truthful, is while it's somewhat successful, is middling in the global cities. And in mid-decade, when I wrote my story, it was certainly true that Chicago was not enjoying the success that it had the decade before. And I looked around and saw other places, from counties to small towns, pairing with each other to try to partner and achieve a greater scale, and thought, well, wouldn't it be beneficial for both Chicago and Milwaukee to kind of market themselves jointly, do some joint infrastructure planning, and then enhance the scope of the whole region and become more competitive and successful in the commercial stage. And I don't think it's any less true today than it was at mid-decade. Both Chicago and Milwaukee had not had a successful economic time over the past 10, 12 years, and I think it probably behooves both of them to perhaps do the basic blocking and tackling to become more successful as a region to the benefit and success of both places.
That's what I was going to ask, is has anything changed to make this less or more desirable?
I think what has changed is, at least in the Chicago area, is that there was a lot of heady thinking, if you will, almost hubris, coming out of the 90s that we had outgrown our regional role. We had very successful growth in population and the economy in the 1990s in both the city and suburbs, attraction of major global headquarters such as Boeing and so forth. And as the decade kind of came along and we saw some progress, it was clear that the 1990s were perhaps not being repeated. We had a very, very tough decade. And, of course, everyone knows about the financial crisis and the recession that's beaten down the entire country. So I think now there's more discussion and thought and agonizing reappraisal in Chicago as to where we're going and what we can do. It's a lot more humbling, both on the commercial front and with our fiscal problems and everything else, that we perhaps need to do more than simply be large in order to succeed.
What else does a region or a city like Chicago need besides largeness?
Well, being large somewhat made you more successful with the age of globalization. You were able to undertake those services, management consulting, and accounting that were needed when globalization was really growing. But it's a tough environment, and there's a lot of cities poised to serve that role throughout the world. So I think growth has slowed itself in the world and the United States, and I think that every place, even if it doesn't have the natural advantages of simply being large, has to do all the basic blocking and tackling that it possibly can. It has to be fiscally solvent. It has to provide basic services. It has to market itself as having the greatest scope of opportunities for business ventures and for attracting talented young people and growing people and their skills and so forth. So I just think that it's much more magnified than it was because the economic environment is just much poorer than it had been.
What do you perceive this region sharing?
There are a lot more dual income households or even more than one earner in a household, so that the most successful people now, and it's, you know, it's part of the growing income inequality that's also taking place, are the demand for skilled workers, and they're often very specialized in where they're placed, and they're very different. So that to have as wide a scope of possible opportunities, I think with a greater place with more companies, more different specialties by industry and so forth, makes you more attractive in hiring skilled labor, and that in turn entices companies to come and locate and invest in a broader region. So I think that's one of the main attractions. A little bit more broadly than that, young people, skilled workers with education, very much are looking towards their future, and they want to be connected with as many associations and possible next moves and steps in their career as they possibly can. So the broader in scope you are, the larger place that you're perceived as being in terms of business connections and personal development connections, I think the more attractive you will be to the young people in choosing a place to, in which to start and cultivate your career.
Now, how does something like this happen if you've seen it occur in other parts of the country or the world?
Well, you know, I think that you can see it most clearly with small places because they see the necessity of doing it. Twinning of counties and development associations between the town and the surrounding county. But in metropolitan areas as well, they'll form development partnerships or statewide economic development groups. Sometimes it's a regional chamber of commerce, as it is in Detroit. That's a successful model, even though they've had great economic difficulties in Michigan and so forth. So there are a number of ways of going about it. It's perhaps most difficult in a place like Chicago, Milwaukee, Northwest Indiana, because you have these old state line sorts of mental blocks, if you will, as well as the policy differences that make everyone perceive that you're a different place when, in fact, you're very tightly connected and your fates are shared. You know, here we have rival basketball and football teams, and people don't think of them as one place, and we have separate political dramas to follow and so forth, and different policies and different transportation planning and so forth. So it's difficult to cross state line, I think, but it takes a lot more, I think, imagination and will to get it done.
Does business see this? You know, who sees this clearly and could prompt both states to move forward?
Well, I think business often sees it, at least in our part of the country in the Midwest. I think we're somewhat unlike some other multi-state regions because of our manufacturing heritage. The linkages and trade linkages and us transporting goods back and forth is almost like a city in other places. It's just very, very heavy. The companies are interconnected and buy and sell to one another. So, and then the recruiting as well, the service companies as well, when they try to recruit, they know and analyze why it is they have difficulty recruiting and how important it is. So I think the business community can serve an especially important role in explaining and seeing what the necessity of some regionalism is. And the other important organizations are the ones that are kind of planning organizations that also see where people commute and where they choose to live and work, and they see that a region is tightly integrated and the value of some joint planning for infrastructure and programs. So I think, you know, a public-private partnership that was led by those two types of organizations might hold some promise.
You mentioned fiscal solvency. What kind of shape do you perceive the region being in at this time? And are there major differences on each side of the state line?
I guess as a matter of perception, both places and many places have their fiscal problems and need to get their house in order for the long term. I suppose Wisconsinites would would look at disbelief, but Illinois is probably a little bit more challenged than the Chicago area. Certainly in the long run with its pension problems. I mean, Wisconsin has some debt overhang that needs to be addressed and a structural imbalance that needs to be worked out. But Chicago and Illinois are easily in the top five in terms of their structural imbalances. The city government, metropolitan-wide governments, and the state government all have a debt overhang and a need for restructuring and rebalancing that needs to be addressed.
Did you say you can both compete and cooperate?
I think if you understand what it's all about, you certainly can compete and cooperate. And that's very important. What should governments compete on? Governments provide services to households, and we all understand that, the voters they're responsive to. And they also provide services to businesses. So, you know, one would like to see governments focus a little bit more on that, have a conversation and dialogue with business and what they value in terms of infrastructure and information and marketing, assistance with regulation and compliance and building permits and things like that. You know, that's a healthy kind of competition when you create the most value that you can, a nice working environment for investment and a stable environment and a partnership that business can count on for the long term when it's plunking down investment dollars that are not so easily moved when times get tough. So, you know, I think that everyone sees government compete on those. We compete in school districts, try to do a good job, and state governments can do a good job. But there are some public services that are best provided in cooperation, planning what roadways connect to places, for example, shared recreational resources. We have our Lake Michigan here that we share and can be a feature of attraction to the entire region. So, you know, there are different levels of cooperation while at the same time nested in that competition is very, very healthy and should go on.
Have you seen any examples of a successful venture, cooperative venture? And then conversely, have you observed what you think are missed opportunities?
I think one thing that we've seen here in Illinois is not enough conversation about what infrastructure projects are most needed and most valuable. And you need to do that before you can really talk cooperatively across a state line. Then once you have your own list and understanding, I think then you can do some joint planning and some trade-offs and perhaps some tacit agreements on what a wider region might invest in. Or you can go to the federal government jointly with the thought that some infrastructure project would benefit the entire region. On the successful side, certainly the states understand the shared resources of the waterways and the Great Lakes environment, and I think that their organizations, the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Association and the Great Lakes Commission, that have worked across state lines to bring about federal assistance for the region and some cooperative ventures even in tourism and other areas.
Bill Testa is Senior Economist, Vice President, and Director of Regional Programs at the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. He spoke with WUWM's Marge Pitroff. There's more of the interview in the supplemental audio section of WUWM.com/Lake Effect. Keep listening as we explore southward growth. What's at stake for Milwaukee County? We're joined by County Executive Chris Abley next on Lake Effect.